You're very welcome back to Global Village. Kieran Cudahy here in the hot seat this evening. 53106 is the text number. Now, not everybody has self-confidence. Many people hate speaking in public or being the first to volunteer to do anything. But a new book aims to address that. Oh Yes, I Can is aimed at advising young adults and their parents how to prepare for the social formalities in their lives and eliminate the stress those encounters can bring. Author of the book, Brenda Hart, joins me tonight on Global Village to tell me all about it. Brenda, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
The book, before I got my hands on it, I suppose I read the blurb and I thought, is this like Toastmasters for young people in a way? Would that be kind of a fair mini assessment?
It's a very relevant comment and a good comment. However, it's a potpourri. It's a mixture of being able to speak as people would in Toastmasters, but also having the confidence to give a presentation, but also having the confidence, Kieran, when you're outside in a formal situation, to behave accordingly so you won't be too nervous.
So this isn't just about, you know, sitting in front of a microphone like you're doing or standing up on a stage. This is everyday encounters with other people, is
correct,
it?
Correct. Every single solitary day, every moment of the day, certainly from young adults right up to 28s, 38s even, because there will be a situation, there will be a night out, you will be confronted or have a lovely meal in front of you and you won't be quite sure what to do or how to do it. And this is when this little book, Oh Yes I Can, will help you.
And why did you feel there was a need for a book to help in those situations?
Yes, a very good question. It's been bottling up in me for a long time. I'm in my early 70s. It's a mixture of all the areas in which I've worked, such as a school principal, such as lecturing, such as in speech and drama, such as I did some work for the Irish Times way back. And this is when it's all together and I have it all here now because I have lived through a period where I thought etiquette and good communications were kind of passé. With speak talk, with emails, with netiquette and all of that, I thought they were totally passé. But at the minute I'm lecturing to young adults, that's 18 to 20s at third level, and I still see the same insecurity and lack of confidence as I did many, many years ago.
So is this about instilling confidence and security, or is it about bringing us back to an era where there was more etiquette in social interactions? Because I guess, you know, 40 years ago, someone might have said, you know, in their 60s or 70s, oh, it was different in my day. You know, that people will always say it was different in our day.
Well, there's a lovely expression out there. You shouldn't, or one should look at history through modern spectacles. Times change, people change. However, respect for people, formal situations, our confidence issues, these actually don't change as much. There's an expression out there called stop the world, I want to get off. We just want more person to person. We just want more humanity in our communication. And that's really where I am saying to you now, there isn't an awful lot changed.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Is the netiquette, I suppose, and the changing way we communicate with each other, a consequence of that breaking down of respect in society? Or is it the other way around, that breaking down of respect then lead to, I suppose, a change in how we use language and how we communicate and how we deal in formal situations?
Yeah, I think respect is always there, but I think we're going at such a pace now and information is literally at a finger's touch away that we just don't have that time to stop and stare and ask and smile and isn't it a lovely day out there and that sort of thing. I think we have a very fine race of people in Ireland now. I'm extraordinary and always amazed at how educated they are. Anywhere I go, if you go to a small concert, which are free in many places, you'll see enormous talent in young people. You'll see enormous talent indeed in news talk here. You'll see it on the stage everywhere. Huge talent. However, I think we're going a little fast. I think when we're put one-to-one, eyeball-to-eyeball with somebody, I think that's when we begin to wobble a little bit and that's when we need the information that I've written down.
And before we get into the information itself, because I was struck reading some of it about some of the mistakes I make, I noticed as you're answering that last question, I was kind of playing with my lip at the start of it. I shouldn't have been doing that. We'll get to some of that. But are there people who will be for whom this book is more targeted at than others? You know, people maybe who just by their nature, I suppose, are less confident in certain situations.
Well, there's an expression in Irish called Antin Kirog, Kirogella. One person recognises another person. If you're making a faux pas, you see it in other people. I think it is kind of wrong to use a very bland word. I think it's wrong to say this is for a certain age bracket, and it's certainly not for me. As in anything you read or any play or anywhere you're entertained, there will be some pocket there that will have interest to you. However, to answer your question, you know, straightforwardly and, you know, the black and white, yes, certainly it is for younger people who are 18 to 28 and their mothers who are starting out there, changing job, wondering what to wear, maybe have to give a presentation at a job interview, maybe are asked to talk at a christening or a wedding. All of this. Now, in a small book of 74 pages, it's not possible to cover everything because etiquette books and communication books are wide and varied. However, it's short and snappy, and people then can pick out what they feel they're insecure at or in and then research that.
So it's for, I suppose, young adults and young parents. Is that
and the
really
parents looking at them and saying, I wish you could tell my daughter or my son to behave like that.
Yeah, we were actually just talking in a production meeting earlier in the week here in News Talk about, you mentioned the word netiquette, and it was about how, you know, you tell your child when they're going off to creche, if that's where they're going, you know, don't slap or don't bite or don't do these things. But we don't really have rules for how to tell them about how to cope online. What, this is how you should talk about things online. This is the words you should use. You shouldn't use these words, and this is what you should. And that, I guess that kind of gets to the kernel of what you're talking about, that there's this whole new world out there that we haven't really developed a set of guidelines for, and the book maybe stepped into that void.
Exactly. I mean, for example, if you write an email and you have capital letters, I will be there at 6. Capital letters in an email is or a text for that matter is a form of shouting. There's another expression out there called flaming. If you write in an email, if I see you doing that, I'll tell your parents. That's kind of a threat. It's kind of an underlying bullying. It's not safe. So emails and texts, we should be very, very careful because they're down. They're as the old written word, if you like, but they're the electronic way and they're here to stay.
Oh, what about those people who put exclamation marks at the end of every sentence?
Yeah, and
oh my God!
Yes, it's too much emphasis makes emphasis of nothing. Yes,
that's a great. I'm going to use that now.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Now onto the book itself. As I said, I was flicking through it and I focused in on a few things that I guess, like I said, I do wrong. I slouch is one thing. And as I'm sitting at my computer in the office, I realise after about 20 minutes that I'm almost horizontal in my chair, leaning over. But there's an element here about personal communication and the breakdown of the different aspects of personal communication and how little personal communication has to do with spoken words and how much it has to do with body language. Tell me a bit more about that.
Yes. Well, personal communication is as we're speaking now. We're, you know, eyeballing each other, which is fantastic. There's nothing to substitute for personal communication. However, when we fold our arms, as we all know, in front of our bodies, when we clench our fists, or any of that body language that's, you know, putting your fingers on your nose or maybe feeling your ear.
Which I just did. People can't see. I was doing that as Brenda said it.
Exactly. Maybe feeling your ear. Maybe shifting in your chair, Kieran, as you are now.
And stop commentating on me, will you?
In the nicest possible way. It kind of shows an unrest. But there is no doubt about it. If you're in a supermarket or any public place, you meet somebody, you speak with them. Have you ever been in the situation that somebody's passing by and the person to whom you're speaking waves and says hello? They are not contacting you. They're not listening to you. Or worse still, their phone rings and they say, excuse me, I won't be a second, which is ridiculous. We're always more than a second.
Yeah.
And they take out their phone. So this is the personal eyeball to eyeball. This is the closeness that we are lacking.
I'm going to try and defend myself here. I'm just a naturally fidgety person. There are people who just, you know, find it hard to sit still for a few minutes as I defend myself. Another aspect of it, I suppose, I was reading, like, is there an element of, and I mean this in the best possible way, there's a kind of a Victorian feeling to some of the book. Would that be fair?
I don't mind you saying that, providing you can quote what you mean. I mean, for example, if sometimes I don't know if you've ever been the recipient of a letter at Christmas time, and it'll give what the person has done through the year. They'll tell you about their wonderful skiing holiday or the lovely turquoise waters that they enjoyed in wherever. And it's obviously written to be sent to many, many people. That isn't personal.
See, I couldn't tell you the last time I got a letter from anyone.
Well, there you go.
Even a Christmas card. I don't think we got any Christmas cards last year, really. A few family members, maybe.
Yes, and if your Christmas card is going to be hello, greetings, hope you're well, goodbye, what's the point?
But is there still a place for that type of communication now when, you know, it's so easy, you can comment on someone's Instagram posts, you can tweet them, you can text them, WhatsApp them, you can, you know, yes. Snapchat them. There's all these different things you can do.
Absolutely. I think it's wonderful, the postal service we have. You know, you write a letter one day, you pop it in the post, you pay a euro, more or less, if it's in this country, and they get it the next day. Letters of condolence, letters of thank you, letters of somebody who's ill and you cannot access them, or they cannot access emails in a hospital. All of these things that are penned carefully and, you know, obviously neat and tidy and all of that, maybe with a little sticker with a funny face on it or an emoticon. There is, that can never be substituted, in my opinion, Kieran. I mean, emails are perfectly okay in the way, but there is a balance we need in correspondences, and that's where the letters have to stay.
It kind of sounds like you're touching on that whole issue of how we're more connected than ever, but yet we're kind of further apart.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in the old days, and really, what's the point in dwelling too much? They're gone and they won't be back. But, you know, in the old days, you like Forrest Gump, somebody sitting beside a bus stop and they're having a chat and they're going on and on. Those days are gone. We're into screens, we're listening to something and what have you. But the point is, we're still human beings. We're still very sensitive. And when we get something personal, like a direct conversation or a letter, or when we get a communication that we know is from the heart, or someone says, listen, I'm at this christening, I'm at this wedding, and I'd like to say a few words, it has to be prepared. Mark Twain said it takes 3 years to prepare an impromptu speech.
I read that.
So it has to be,
yeah.
Well, he's always kind of quick, isn't he? Golf is a long walk, spoiled and all that.
Tell me, the fact that we don't write these letters, and that I suppose so much of our communication is that instant, and I gave a few examples, it's all kind of, I suppose, a mile wide and an inch deep. And I guess writing letters would, I suppose it would help encourage a level of intimacy maybe in relationships and between people. And I mean like familial relationships, loving relationships, and even, you know, amongst friends, that is probably disappearing to an extent. And I'm always struck when you read letters, say, like, you know, in the United States, they've been great to kind of archive all these letters that past presidents would write. And the intimacy in some of the letters from, say, Abraham Lincoln to some of his friends, some would say that's because they were intimate in more ways than one, but they really were very close. And I couldn't ever imagine writing anything like that to a friend of mine now.
No, and that is kind of sad, because those letters, those written by these great statesmen, they stay, they withstand the test of time. I mean, if you take Valentine's Day, Kieran, you get these tawdry red hearts all over the place. Can you imagine what a letter just saying the few words without all that, you know, slap bang stuff, and giving money, you know, to, it's wasting your money unnecessarily. Can you imagine a personal letter from a guy to a gal over, you know, that what they feel, what they intimately, you know, like about each other? How much more that would weigh than these cards that are around the place. That's why when you have a statesman, when you had, say, the Elizabeth, when she came here to visit Mary McAleese, and she tried her few bits of Irish and so on, Barack Obama is Fáil Lum. That's why these people, they think about it, and they know that the spoken word will last, and they know if it's said and sent out there with integrity and feeling, that it will be far, far more meaningful than any email.
Yeah, look, the book, as we said, it's Oh Yes I Can. It's written by Brenda Hart. It's available in all good bookshops, Brenda?
I have an email address.
Okay.
And it's my name, Brenda Hart with an E, Brenda Hart 2017 at gmail.com. Brenda Hart 2017 at gmail.com.
And you can get a copy of the book. And it has all those things that we talked about there, about body language, communication. It has posh-nosh, the French words that you
must
know.
I love that,
it's a great little chapter.
I have to look that up myself sometime. And don't forget the price, Kieran.
Oh, the price. The price is €7.99. Yeah. €6.99 sterling, $8.99. Yeah.
Brenda. And the dollar is good.
Yeah, thanks very much for coming
You're
in
to us.
You're
a pleasure to speak with.
And that is all we have time for this evening on Global Village. My thanks to producer Amy Ryan. Enjoy what's left of your weekend.